And I want to begin with the scripture, Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the Christ child to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all the people a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, and Israel of Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phineas, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years, from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting in prayer day and night. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. God revealed through prophets that Jesus was coming. He not only revealed through prophets that Jesus was coming so that those prophets could prepare the people's hearts, and also to know and to be confident that Jesus was who he said he was because he fulfilled all the prophecies. But also, God prepared certain people's hearts, average people, to receive Jesus. But I think there's something even more than that. And that is this. Have you ever thought about the question, why was Jesus born in the time he was born? Why? Why were we born in our day? Why wasn't he born before that, hundreds of years before that? Why did Jesus, and why? Why Mary and Bethlehem? Why? Well, I think there are many reasons. First of all, it was to fulfill the prophecies that God for a long time had planned to do it this way. But the exact moment at when he came, it's a real question. Why did he come in exactly that moment? Maybe 10 years before, 10 years after. Is there a point? And I think there is. You see, in the prayers that Simeon prayed, and Anna prayed, and probably many, many, many other people, they prayed with such power and such beauty and with such appeal that it moved God's heart to say, now is the time. And when Jesus came, the Holy Spirit came and said, this is Jesus, my son. The one I told you about, the one you were preparing for, the one that you asked for. Anna wouldn't even leave the temple. She stayed there praying, fasting and praying, said, God, please send your Messiah. I believe that God's hand and his heart is touched and moved by the prayer of righteous people. If you hadn't really pieced it all together, go back to Abraham. Do you remember Abraham prayed for the hand of God to be removed from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? Lord, please, if there are 50. Now, by the way, Abraham walked with God. Abraham was so close to God that when he prayed, God revealed to him in his prayer that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Abraham looks up and sees the city and says, but wait, Lord, if there are 50 people in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you destroy it with the righteous as well as the unrighteous? And God said, if there's 50 there for your sake and what you believe, I will save it. And there's it. And so, as you remember, Abraham kept going down until he finally got to 10. He says, but Lord, if you find 10, just 10 righteous, would you save the city? God said, but for the 10, I will save the city. But there were not 10 righteous there. And the city was destroyed. You see, God would not have destroyed the city at Abraham's request. Now, what if Abraham had gone all the way down to 2, and there actually were only 2? God would not have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because he had said, I for this will do what you ask. Is Abraham such an amazing man that he looks at God and says, God, will you do this or will you not do this? And yes, I would say, because this man's prayers were so powerful, he moved the very hand of God. And the windows of heaven were open when Abraham prayed. Noah was a man who walked with God. The scripture says he walked with God. What is a man who walks with God? It means that prayer life is so intertwined with their daily walk that they actually, as Paul said, pray all the time. That's basically you're walking in a prayerful attitude, and your communication with God has become so meaningful and powerful that God speaks with you and you speak with God and stuff happens. As a matter of fact, with Noah, God was walking with Noah and Noah was walking with God, and God said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. Noah said, how, Lord? And he said, I'm going to have a flood. Now, first of all, I want you to know something. No one had ever seen a flood like anything like that before. So this was hard to understand. And then God says, but I have prepared you as the one as the deliverer. So what I'm going to do is I want you to build a big boat. Noah is sitting there going, in my backyard? Where you will be? How about the river down 40 miles east of here? How about the ocean? Should I spill it? God said, build it in your backyard. Big boat. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you exactly how to build it. By the way, listen. You know that God speaks with us in such specifics that he told Noah, build it this many cubits by this many cubits. Why was that important? Because Noah was not a boat builder. But God called him to build a boat. See, God calls us to do things that we're not sometimes. To prove that he's in charge and prove that this was the head of God. See, we want to only do what we're good at. What I know. Now, I know how to do this. Let me do that. Somebody comes to you and says in the church, would you like to be on this committee? And you say, oh, I don't know much about that. I'm not good at that. God didn't ask you that. wants the glory, not the glory. If you're good at it, you probably got more children to get anyway. But you don't want it rather than listening to God. But Noah was so close to God that God gave him specs on the ark, kept him up with the ark, and it was an amazing feat what he built and did and had it for all the animals. He said, take all the animals in the ark. I don't know how many of you are like me, but if I was to build a boat and God said, now you're going to live in that boat for a while with a bunch of animals, I might say, with God. Who's going to clean that boat out? Who's going to feed those animals every day? Who? But Noah never asked the question, for he listened closely and walked with God and knew that God would provide. I could go on and on. How about Moses? When Moses walks up to the top of a mountain, and there's a burning bush, and he kneels down, and God says, I want you to go to Egypt and set my people free. One man is going to go to Egypt against a vast army and set all those millions of people free. Right. Right. Yet when Moses prayed and learned to pray up on that mountain, when Moses prayed and walked with God, God did miraculous things. Not only did God come according to the prayers of Moses and cause a change in the heart of the Pharaoh, God made it turn the water into blood. God brought a plague of locusts and brought the death angel. God came and opened up the sea, and the millions walked across the dry ground of the seabed, and then he turned around and Moses raised his rod and the waters came down and washed away a great and mighty army. One man who believed in prayer. You don't believe the rest of the people were upset with Moses being up on the mountain? Why didn't he come down? What's he up there? He didn't pray that much. He didn't need to talk with God that much. Let's just go back to Egypt. We had it better there. Again and again, you can go through this Bible and read how people walked with God and the windows of heaven were open to transform mountains and rivers, to take impossible situations and make them possible. One of the things that happened to me that really burdened me was when my mom and dad died. And the reason it burdened me was because my mom and dad, when they prayed, stuff happened. And I knew that they were praying every day for my protection, and every day they were praying for the windows of heaven to be open to me and my family and my children. And children. And this was gone. The greatest thing my parents ever did for me was to taught me to pray. And the greatest thing my parents ever did for me was to pray over me. I would go over to visit at their house sometimes and walk into the den and I'd say, Mom, Dad, and they were out on the porch. And they had their little prayer journal and they were praying together. And they said, we were praying for you. And then they left. I said, Lord, Because he walks, she walks with God. Are you walking with God? I mean, are you in such a communication with the Father that, and Jesus, that you literally walk with God? You say, oh, but those are for the people who are righteous. Because in every case, in the Old Testament, it says he was a righteous man and walked with God. I always said righteous man and walked with God. Because you see, we can't walk with God unless we're righteous. But hear me, you're not righteous because you do good stuff. You're righteous because Jesus put his blood saved. And it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that I stand in. Am I perfect? No. But I stand in the righteousness of Jesus, and if I stand in the righteousness of Jesus, I am righteous. And I have the authority to walk with God. Why? Because Jesus gave me that authority. And as I walk with God, the windows of heaven are open. It's open because I talk with God in such a way that God's heart is moved, his hand is moved. In Romans chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, it says this, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, which was Adam, many were sinners, so by the obedience of one, which was Jesus, many will be righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Period. Some of us will sit there and go, but you don't know the sins I've committed. I've got news for you. You don't know the righteousness of Jesus if you're always pointing to your sins. Jesus has forgiven you. Walk in righteousness, not because you're forced to, but because you pleasure to. If you are saved, given a heart to Jesus, and put your full trust in him, then you are deemed righteous before the Father, and you can walk with God. But hear me, not all Christians walk with God. And you know how I know the difference? Because when people pray that are walking with God, stuff happens. And you just want to hear somebody that walks with God pray. You don't need to repent. I just love being with this person when they pray. And I love to hear them pray. But stuff happens. When does it happen? John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Who is that to? Those who are walking with God. I will do whatever you ask. If a river needs to be moved, I'll move the river. If an army is coming against you, I'll take the army out. If a disease is coming into your community, I'll protect you. But here's the key. If you're walking with God, first you must be righteous, which comes through salvation. If anyone's listening to me today, and this is being recorded, so you might be listening on recording. If anyone's listening to me today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all your religion will do you no good. All your benevolence will do you no good. It is a walk with Jesus, for only Jesus can make us righteous. You're not good enough to be righteous. But then you must learn to walk with God. And here's the key. Some people here this morning or listening might say, wait a minute, how do you walk with God? In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it talks about this. And this is, I want to preface this by saying, this is an example of what God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house, and prove me, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. He's speaking of putting our faith and trust in following God. Putting our faith and trust in God. It's not just saying, some Christians say, well, what that means is if I give enough money to the church, then he's going to bless. No, 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 that's not what the intent is here. He says, prove me. How do you prove you? By trusting him. By having faith in him. When I have trust and faith in God, in such a means that everything I do, I trust God with it. I get up in the morning, I trust God. I get in the car and go to work, I trust God. I go to work and work with some in and out people and I trust God. I go out and I do sales and I trust God. I go out and I meet with my family and we go places, I trust God. Trust God. How do you trust God? It means I give God the moment and say, God, whatever you want to do with me in this moment, I give you my life. This is your moment. And I walk with you. When we walk to and with him, the windows of heaven are open. God used everything in his creation to answer prayers. Think about it. How about Daniel and the lion's den? God used the lions to accomplish his purpose. How about the fires of the fiery furnace? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered through the fires of the furnace. How about the great fish? Jonah was thrown into the ocean. How was Jonah saved from that terrible storm? A fish swallowed it. I don't think he ordered that. But God used it. How about Hudson Taylor? I'm going to tell you. He was a young missionary who was on his way to China. And he and his family were there, and the captain said, prepare yourselves. We're going to hit the reef, and there's nothing we can do about it. The water is pushing us towards the reef. And be careful, because the island where the reef, we're being pushed to the reef, the island is a cannibals live there. And he looked, and on the shore they were already building fires. Hudson Taylor said, it's not done yet, not until we go before God. And the captain, who was not religious, said, do whatever you want to do. There's no hope for us. And so he, Hudson Taylor, began to pray. And so they all began to pray. And as they prayed, which were about four missionaries on that boat and their families, they all came to the same conclusion. They began to pray for wind. And they said, thank you, Lord, for the wind. He went, Hudson Taylor went up and talked to the captain and said, put your sails up. We're going to be delivered. And the captain says, there's no wind. I don't put up sails. There's no, it's dead. The current is pulling us. He said, put up your sails. God is sending wind. And so, aggravated, he put up the sails, and suddenly a strong gale wind caught their sails and pushed them back out to sea, and they were delivered. My friends, God is the God of the winds. He's the God of the waves. He's the God of all of nature, and he can pull from anywhere and anything. As long as we walk with God, he has that can deliver us. Hudson Taylor told the captain, don't give up yet. And I'm going to say to you this morning, I don't care what you're facing, don't give up yet. Don't give up yet. Till you've got before God, and you start walking with God, and you see your prayer life become one where you go before God, and the very hand of God is moved. Would that all Christians had that life-transforming power in their prayer life. Now, I want to say this. There are those of you here this morning who so decided, well, but you don't know me. Maybe you might say, I'm just not one of them. I'm not a person of prayer. I don't know really how to pray. It's that you walk with God and the prayers come. I remember hearing the story of a general in the time who looked at his troops. One of the troops said, he said, if you get in the foxhole and you know, you be sure to pray this prayer. And he actually handed them out a prayer to pray. And the soldier says, I don't believe in prayer. I don't believe in God. And the general looked at him and said, well, then you haven't been in a foxhole yet. I believe that we will get in the presence of God is like being in a foxhole again. We learn to pray. We learn to plead. I say this to my children and my grandchildren this morning. There is not a day, not one, when I have not prayed for you. Or have I asked Psalm 91 and the promises of Psalm 91 to be upon my children, which says no harm will come to them. I want you to know something. I believe that they're here partially because I've tried to walk with God as much as I can possibly walk with God, and I believe my prayers are heard by God, and God's hand is moved and is protected. But I would say this to all of us. Would that we had prayers to change the currents of rivers around you. Would that we had prayers that were so powerful that the people around us, we'd pray and we'd fall on their knees. Charles Finney, one of the greatest evangelists in the early days, greater than even Whitfield, they said that when he would walk up and down the street, he was so close to God, people would just rush him, wouldn't know who he is, and fall down and cry in the beginning of their sins. In just his presence, because he walked in God. You want to know what a man is? A man is somebody who's not ashamed to walk in God. And to pray the power of God to transform him. And God doesn't always use great people to do that. He uses the average person who just don't walk with him. To be a disciple means I learn to pray because I'm walking.